The Doctor Audio Adventures.
The Doctor and the Planet of Origin, Part 1, written by Amy DeWitt. The young man put his phone in his pocket and approached the 1950s photo booth, stepping on an out-of-order sign as he pushed open the cabinet-like door. Inside was a huge half-dome-shaped room that had a white base and a brightly lit creamy cross and diamond pattern on its walls. In the middle of the room was a hexagonal-based control console. In its centre was a cylindrical glass tube that rose up into the ceiling. This housed more than a dozen rotor couplings, which were holding long cylindrical lights.
Oh, what the flip?
To the far side was an old 1920s-style elevator with a criss-crossed metal door.
It's flipping huge on the inside.
He walked further into the room, suddenly seeing a dried, red, blood-like substance and a pair of legs coming out from underneath.
Oh my god, what the flip?
Fear set into the young man upon seeing the body seemingly crushed under the elevator, and he made a run for the door. On his way past, he ran into the side room of the console unit, knocking some of the controls. The centre lights in the middle of the console started to change colour. The elevator lifted up, and the doctor came out from under it in her repaired French dress.
What the heck? Who are you? Didn't you see the out-of-order sign?
She looked at the monitor. She moved to where the young man had been and examined the damage.
No. I thought you were dead.
Why did you think that?
That red pool of stuff on the floor, you know? Plus it looked like you were crushed under that flippin' elevator.
That's grease.
Oh. Okay, so you can let me out then.
What's the matter with you? You know it won't open like that.
Of course it will. It's a flippin' door.
We're in the middle of travelling. The door locks and remains closed until we stop.
Well, how about stop?
Sorry, not happening.
Fine, I'll do it. Move out of the way.
Don't even think about it. You've already done enough damage.
What's that supposed to mean?
On your way past, you managed to interfere with the coordination dials that I set before. So now I have no idea where our destination is going to be.
Destination? Great. I'm stuck here with a woman who thinks she knows how to flip and fly this thing and has no idea where we're going. Maybe you should just let a man fly.
Maybe you should be quiet so I can determine whereabouts our destination is.
The doctor moved the monitor screen around. The writing on the screen kept changing. She could read it, but nothing was making sense.
This is so odd.
What's odd?
The ship is finding it hard to analyse where we're going.
Oh, this day just keeps getting better.
Well, it's about to get better. We may have a bumpy landing coming.
The ship rattled violently. They swayed as if they were in an earthquake until it stopped.
Well, we have landed. That's always good.
She hit several switches, but nothing happened. She viewed the monitor once more.
Let's see what we have outside now.
Are you talking to me?
Nope, I was talking to the ship. Come on, you silly thing.
She hit a switch, and the door opened.
You're crazy, aren't you?
If I was crazy, you would know it. And by the way, this ship doesn't like you very much.
This ship has feelings?
Of course it does. What do you think it is, a big piece of metal?
Yeah.
My gosh, what are they teaching humans these days? Why does the 0000 keep flicking up then unknown? That's a question worth asking.
Why?
I have no idea. Come on.
I'm not going anywhere.
Suit yourself. Not my fault if something happens to you and I'm not around to do something about.
Fine. But you have to give me a flippin' straight answer for once.
The doctor and the young man stepped out of the ship onto a surface of sorts. It was like a mattress, soft and springy, but still supported them. The planet itself was dark. Not much light could be seen in the sky, nor any stars. It had an eerie feel to the place, like something was there, but there was nothing there.
What the flip did you do? Where are we? Did we move?
I didn't do anything. Yes, we did move. It's called a ship for a reason. To be precise, it's a time machine. I call it the Questa. Where are we? Well, that I have no idea, thanks to you.
That's a time machine? Why is the outside a photo booth and looks nothing like a time machine?
Rule one. Looks can be deceiving. You assume I'm human, don't you?
So, you're an alien?
To you, yes.
But you look human.
Remember rule one. Looks can be deceiving.
The doctor knelt down to investigate the ground. She picked up a small piece, but it was not hard. She went to examine it closer, but it moved away itself, and merged back with the rest of the ground.
How extraordinary.
What's extraordinary?
I've never seen anything like this before. What's your name again? I don't seem to remember you telling me.
That's because I didn't.
Right. I can either call you annoying or you can tell me your name.
It's Terry. Terry Fowler.
Nice to make your acquaintance, Terry. I'm the doctor.
Doctor who?
That's a very good question. Very good question.
The two of them turned to a sound that came from behind them. Out of the ship emerged the small robot, Irespot. It eyed Terry off and then moved towards the doctor. She reached down and tapped the top of the robot's head. Irespot then turned towards Terry in an aggressive way. A red dot appeared on his forehead.
Oi! What are you doing?
Protecting Mistress.
From Terry?
Affirmative.
Terry's no threat to us.
Unidentified human poses a threat to Mistress.
Izzy, he's an acquaintance of sorts.
Yes, Mistress.
Anyway, Izzy, I need you to do something.
Not destroy humanoid?
Yes, that too. Can you analyze what we're standing on?
Affirmative, Mistress. Scanning now. Scanning complete. We seem to be standing on some sort of matter. My scanners pick up that it has all the material that makes up the fabric of the known universe.
Really? Anything else?
It's living.
It's what?
Alive, moving, forming things under our feet.
How can it do that?
Matter is often seen moving around, but not in masses of this scale. Something else is controlling it. But what?
Suddenly, all around them, the ground started to collapse. Not just where they were, but also where the ship was.
What's happening?
I don't know.
The ground under their feet collapsed. Darkness followed. There were no sounds, just complete darkness.
Terry? Terry?
I'm okay. I think. Probably won't be saying that tomorrow.
Izzy?
Yes, Mistress.
Can you turn a light on?
Affirmative, Mistress.
Izzy's center body lit up with a golden light. It illuminated what they had fallen into, a tunnel or passage of sorts. The doctor looked around at their surroundings and noticed the matter was moving faster in the tunnel.
Oh my.
What?
The doctor pointed towards the ship. Two strange creatures stood near it. They had things moving along their skin, if it was even skin. It was hard to tell in this light. They were made from the same matter the ground was. Their appearance was humanoid form, but a much harsher body, almost like they'd been stuck together from random bodies. Their hands had claws of sorts, but were not complete as they were missing a couple of fingers.
Who does it belong to?
That would be me.
Use it, you will do bring back our master.
Will I? And your master is?
Master of all in the darkness. You will help or die.
Can't we negotiate?
Help or die.
Okay. Show me where your master is.
The creature waddled slowly behind the ship. The doctor, Terry and Izzy followed. The other creature stayed behind. The tunnel continued on, but there was a slight change to the texture. It was smoother than before, not as much movement from the matter.
Doctor?
Yes, Terry?
Is it just me, or do these creatures talk a little strange?
Yes, I believe they were mainly created for brutal force, not speech. Hence, it's so broken and confused.
Why would someone create something like that?
To get things done.
They continued on in silence. The tunnel led out into an opening. It was quite big, stretching more than 30 metres wide by 50 metres high. In the centre of the ceiling was a huge ball of black matter. It swelled and pulsed, matter attracted to it.
Our master!
Well, aren't you impressive?
That big ball of stuff impresses you?
Terry, don't be rude. Hello, to whom am I speaking?
Master is not awake! Sleeps for thousands of years.
You wake up or you will die! Die! Die or you will die!
To be continued in the next story, The Doctor and the Planet of Origin, Part 2.
Formed by an all-volunteer cast featuring Rowena Dinsmore, Brooke Maloney,
Michael Rutter,
Roy Scale, Bill Carney, Adam Brooks, John Brooks. Edited by Adam Brooks, Carolyn Rutter, and Trevor Snee. Visit thedoctoraudioadventures.wordpress.com for full sound effects credits, artwork, and more. City Park Radio, The Doctor Audio Adventures, 2016.